The bishops identify four overall principles of Catholic social teaching from the compendium of the social doctrine of the Church that can guide our approach to the issues. Within those overall principles, they point to specific themes of Catholic social teaching, which are identified by bold within the text. These bolded themes are what we are all familiar with as the seven themes of Catholic social teaching. First, the dignity of the human person. As Catholics, we believe that human life is sacred and that the dignity of the human person is the foundation of a moral vision for society. This belief in the centrality of life and dignity guides our perspective on a multitude of issues, from abortion and euthanasia to racism, poverty, war, and the death penalty. Second, subsidiarity. Within this principle, the human person is not only sacred but also social, and our development as human beings takes place in relationship with others. We cannot promote human dignity without attending to the roles of families and community groups and associations. Public policy should strengthen families and uphold parents' rights and responsibilities to care for their children. We have a right and a duty to participate actively in shaping society and to promote the well-being of all, especially the poor and vulnerable. The bishops note in Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, subsidiarity reminds us that larger institutions in society should not overwhelm or interfere with smaller or local institutions, yet larger institutions have essential responsibilities when the more local institutions cannot adequately protect human dignity, meet human needs, and advance the common good. Third, the common good, which is the sum total of social conditions which allow people, either as groups or as individuals, to reach their fulfillment more fully and more easily. The common good involves protecting human rights and meeting basic responsibilities as essential to respecting human dignity. It means our economic system must respect human dignity, the common good, the dignity of work, and the rights of workers. It means caring for creation as a duty of our faith and a sign of our concern for all people, especially those in poverty. Finally, the principle of solidarity reminds us that we are one human family, whatever our national, racial, ethnic, economic, and ideological differences. We are our brothers and sisters' keepers, wherever they may be. And loving our neighbor has global dimensions. This has implications for how we respond to immigrants and refugees, how we promote peace in a world marred by conflict, and how our society treats those who are weak, vulnerable, and most in need of preferential concern. Next, we will look at some of the specific policy issues that require our attention in response to these guiding principles and themes.
Now that we've considered some of the main principles and themes of Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, we can turn to the second part of the document titled Applying Catholic Social Teaching. The bishops begin this section with a few important observations. They write, "To engage in politics is more than getting involved in current polemics and debates. It is about acting with others and through institutions for the benefit of all. In our democracy, one aspect of this task for all of us requires that we weigh issues and related policies." In this brief summary, they conclude, "We bishops call attention to issues with significant moral dimensions that should be carefully considered." Perhaps it's good to remember as well from earlier in the document that this statement is intended to reflect and complement, not substitute for, the ongoing teaching of bishops in our own dioceses and states. The bishops organize the policy issues under 13 topics or headings. Given their number, I'll have to run through them rather quickly. Of course, this means we'll not be able to treat any of them with the proper depth. For that, we recommend that you read Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship for yourself, consult the other bishops' documents on specific issues. Those documents are listed at the end of Forming Consciences, and also visit our website for a host of other resources. Now let's take a brief look at the 13 topics the bishops use to organize their policy considerations. The first topic is human life. As the bishops write, "Our conference supports laws and policies to protect human life to the maximum degree possible." They list a number of areas of policy concern, including opposition to abortion, assisted suicide and euthanasia, the cloning and destruction of human embryos, genocide, torture, and the direct and intentional targeting of non-combatants in war or terrorist attacks. They also support efforts that combat hunger, disease, poverty, and violence. Finally, they write, because we have other ways to protect society that are more respectful of human life, the USCCB supports efforts to end the use of the death penalty and in the meantime to restrain its use. The next heading is promoting peace. Here the bishops write, war is never a reflection of what ought to be, but a sign that something more true to human dignity has failed. The Catholic tradition recognizes the legitimacy of just war teaching when defending the innocent in the face of grave evil, but we must never lose sight of the cost of war and its harm to human life. The policy concerns that are listed under this heading include efforts to avoid war and to promote peace, opposition to terrorism and torture, and the indiscriminate or disproportionate use of military force. The bishops also mention efforts to reverse the spread of nuclear, chemical, and biological weapons. Under the topic of marriage and family life, the bishops state, the family founded upon marriage is the basic cell of human society. The role, responsibilities, and needs of families should be central to national priorities. This means that marriage must be defined, recognized, and protected as a lifelong exclusive commitment between a man and a woman, and as the source of the next generation and the protective haven for children. It also includes promoting pro-family policies on taxes, work, divorce, immigration, welfare, and a family wage, as well as opposition to abortion and contraception mandates. The bishops state their concerns about religious freedom as follows. U.S. policy should promote religious liberty vigorously, both at home and abroad. Our first and most cherished freedom is rooted in the very dignity of the human person, a fundamental human right that knows no geographical boundaries. Another topic that the bishops consider is the preferential option for the poor and economic justice. Here they write, the economy must serve people, not the other way around. Economic decisions and institutions should be assessed according to whether they protect or undermine the dignity of the human person. There are many policy concerns related to this topic. They include policies that help job creation, ensure just wages, oppose employment discrimination, defend policies that reduce poverty, and others that you can see listed on the screen. In the area of healthcare, the bishops assert that affordable and accessible healthcare is an essential safeguard of human life and a fundamental human right. The nation's healthcare system needs to be rooted in values that respect human dignity, protect human life, respect the principle of subsidiarity, and meet the needs of the poor and uninsured. In terms of policy, this includes a call for healthcare for all, especially born and unborn children, pregnant women, immigrants, and other vulnerable populations. It calls for conscience protections, the strengthening of Medicare and Medicaid, and special care for HIV/AIDS victims and persons with addictions. Under the heading of migration, the bishops remind us of the gospel mandate to welcome the stranger, which calls all Catholics to care for and stand with newcomers. This means supporting policies that care for unaccompanied immigrant children, refugees and asylum seekers, those unnecessarily detained, and victims of human trafficking. It also includes a call for comprehensive immigration reform that, as the bishops write, offers a path to citizenship, treats immigrant workers fairly, prevents the separation of families, maintains the integrity of our borders, respects the rule of law, and addresses the factors that compel people to leave their own countries. Another topic the bishops address is Catholic education. They write, parents, the first and most important educators, have a fundamental right to choose the education best suited to the needs of their children, including public, private, and religious. And all persons have a right to receive a quality education. In terms of policy, this means supporting parental choice in education, advocating for quality education for all, including persons who are poor or disabled, and ensuring access for private and religious schools to the tools and services their students need. The bishops also consider policies that promote moral responsibility and effective responses to violent crime in light of what they call a growing culture of violence. This includes policies that seek to curb violence in media, that promote reasonable restrictions on assault weapons and handguns, and work to reform the criminal justice system. Another priority for the bishops is combating unjust discrimination. In their words, it is important for our society to continue to combat any unjust discrimination, as these are grave injustices and affronts to human dignity. The Bishops' Conference therefore continues to combat discrimination based on race, religion, sex, ethnicity, disabling condition or age, to support policies that remove barriers to education, protect voting rights, and support good community policing. They continue to advocate for equal employment for women and minorities. Another topic of concern is titled Care for Our Common Home. The bishops insist that care for creation is a moral issue. We must answer the question that Pope Francis posed to the world: what kind of world do we want to leave to those who come after us, to children who are now growing up? With this in mind, the bishops support policies that, for example, conserve energy, encourage the development of alternative, renewable, and clean energy resources, address global climate change, and contribute to sustainable development of poorer nations. Under the heading of Communications, Media, and Culture, the bishops write, "Print, broadcast, and electronic media shape the culture." Therefore, the bishops call for responsible regulation, quote, "that respects freedom of speech, yet also addresses policies that have lowered standards, permitted increasingly offensive material, and reduced opportunities for non-commercial religious programming," end quote. As further examples, they also support efforts to expand internet availability and enforce obscenity and child pornography laws. The last topic the bishops address is global solidarity. They explain this as follows: "The increasing interconnectedness of our world calls for a moral response, the virtue of solidarity. Our nation should help to humanize globalization, addressing its negative consequences and spreading its benefits, especially among the world's poor." Of the many policy concerns in this area, we might mention the bishops' efforts to address poverty and underdevelopment, work for equitable trade policies, and protect religious liberty and basic human rights throughout the world. I hope this brief summary of some of the issues has been helpful. Finally, I just want to mention a few things that you as a Catholic institution can do and some that you can't do. As a Catholic institution, here are just some of the things that you can do: address the moral and human dimensions of public issues, share church teaching on human life, human rights, and justice and peace, apply Catholic values to legislation and public issues, conduct a nonpartisan voter registration drive on church property. Here are some of the things you should not do: endorse or oppose candidates for political office, distribute partisan campaign literature under church auspices, arrange for groups to work for a candidate for public office, invite only selected candidates to address your church-sponsored group, conduct voter registration slated toward one party. In all of these cases, be sure to check with your diocesan or organizational attorney if you have any questions about what is appropriate. You can also consult the IRS for guidance at this website.
So now you know what it takes to be a faithful citizen, but what should you do next? Visit the Faithful Citizenship website at faithfulcitizenship.org to access materials and resources that you can use to spread the word and educate others. At this website, there are resources for a variety of audiences, including videos and other top resources that you may find useful.